Well, Tom Dreesen is without a doubt one of Chicago's finest stand-up comics of all time. 60 appearances on The Tonight Show. How many with Letterman, by the way?
Over 50, yeah.
At least 50.
He let me host the show, too, when he had the shingles.
You know? I remember that.
So every time I'd see David, I'd say, you know, you don't look so good. You need to take some time out.
Have you seen him recently, Tom?
Yeah, and we email. I'm trying to get him here to Chicago for an event you're going to be talking about. I'm trying to get him to come here to that museum event, a broadcaster's event. Because I owe him. Him and I made a bet in 2005 on his show on the air. The Bears were playing Indianapolis in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you remember? And I made, of course, he's from Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and I made the bet. I said, "Listen, well, for dinner." I'm thinking dinner in New York and some little Italian restaurant. Dave said, "Okay," and he won. Well, then he names a place here in Chicago he wanted to come to that I found out later was like $1,000 a plate.
Oh,
that the
good.
Chef comes out. It's only like four tables, and anyhow, I said, "Well, I lost the bet," and he never showed up. Now that place closed. I went, "Okay."
Oh.
He found another place where it's about that expensive. And he wants me to. So I said, okay, come to Chicago while I'm here, and we'll go to a Cub game, and we'll do it. You know? But he looks like Gabby Hayes now. You know,
he's got a huge, like a mountain man beard.
I know.
And he loves it.
Why do men always grow beards when they're retiring?
Not all men. Men who have not much hair on top.
Is that what it
they
is?
They start growing a whole lot of hair on their face.
Look, we're going to plug. You have a schedule that is unparalleled in show business history, and we'll plug any and all the dates. But I have to ask you,
sure.
The Cubs last night clinched as NL Central champions.
Yes.
It doesn't happen very often. I know what a Cubs fan you are. What does this mean to you?
Well, I mean, I'm thrilled, but I'll tell you, I'm disappointed, and I'll tell you why. Because in May, the Cubs said to me, when do you want to throw out the first pitch, and when would you like to sing the seventh inning?
Yeah.
And I took the schedule out, and I said, I'll call you back in an hour. And I figured in my brain, September 20th, Tuesday, will be when they clinch.
Mm-hmm.
That was my brain figure. I was off by 4 days.
Oh. Yes.
So, no, I'm thrilled. I mean, you know, it's first time in 108 years that they've gotten this kind of a team.
Right.
And in Vegas, you know, they're predicted to win.
From day one, they were the odds-on favorite from day one to win the World Series, and that doesn't happen. The Cubs just...
No.
I
predicted 3 years ago that in 2016 they'd be in the World Series. It's on my Facebook. I mean, I'm not making this up. But I'm not saying that I'm a genius, but Rick Sutcliffe, who is a great baseball mind, told me 5 years ago. He said, the Cubs are going to be in the World Series, Tom. You're not going to like what's happening the first few years.
Yeah.
They're going to be in last place. They're going to gut the team and build up the farm system. And Rick explained it to me, what Theo Epstein was all about. And sure enough, who knows more about baseball than Rick Sutcliffe? So I start saying 2016, you know, they'll be in the World Series. And I really believe they will.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, here's a quick thing. A guy interviewed me the other day, and he said, you old-time Cub fans, tell the truth. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Aren't you a little worried that something? I said, yes, us old-time Cub fans are. But the young Cub fans are not. And those young kids on that field,
right. They
don't have any of those fears at all.
None whatsoever. You know,
none whatsoever. The oldest player in the infield is 26 years old.
27 is Rizzo. He's 27, old. And that's the oldest.
That's you. So, I mean, those kids, they don't have all that kind of superstitious, the
right.
goat. And all that kind
no
of stuff.
No curse. They're just out there having fun and winning games, and that's how you win everything.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't let it get in your head. September 20th, you're going to be singing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley.
I'm throwing out the first pitch, and then I'm singing. September 21st, I'm in Barrington with my golf tournament at Macrae National in Barrington. And all the comedians of Chicago are going to be the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the night, what we do to entertain the people who bought to play golf, each comedian gets up and tells one joke. And then we have a joke off, and there's three left, and then they win the Tom Dreesen Funny. I'm not in it, you know. So they get a silly little plaque, but
that'll
they're
be
all
fun.
All the Chicago communities are such good guys, and they're all helping me out with
if
this.
If people want to come out and participate, what's the best bet for them to do this? Offhand?
Pardon me?
Do you know offhand? How do they reach you if they want to?
It's for the Illinois Fatherhood Initiative.
Yeah.
You know, so you can go on their website, Illinois Fatherhood Initiative, and I should have those numbers in front of me. I'm so sorry.
Kevin, see if you can find some information. We'll get the information on our website.
Then September 24th, I'm in Park Forest. I'm just a cheap plug, but I'm at the Freedom Hall in Park Forest doing my one-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Memories of Sinatra. So mm-hmm. It's a 90-minute show. It's stand-up comedy and a lot of laughs. But then I go into a bar. And the lights go down low, and there's a bottle of Jack Daniels on the stage. And I take them back. Frank Sinatra starts singing. And I take them from this little boy from Harvey, Illinois, hearing Sinatra on the jukebox while he was shining shoes. That same little boy, one day, years later, was carrying Frank Sinatra's coffin out of a church in Beverly Hills. So I take them on that journey. That's going to be a fun show. And by the way, if you want tickets for that show, a cheap plug.
Go on.
708-747 708-747-0580. That's 708-747-0580. And Chuck Sabe will give you good seats because there's not a bad seat in the house, and you're going to have a lot of fun.
And now you have to continue because you mentioned David Letterman. You're trying to get him to come into Chicago for the Chicago thing. And you will be honored at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Tuesday, September 27th, an evening with Tom Dreesen, celebrating a life in comedy at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It would be pretty great if Letterman could come see you there.
I'm hoping he will because he's a broadcaster.
Exactly.
You know? And I hope Bill and Wendy will come there as well.
If you'll have us, we'll show up.
Oh, I'll put your name.
All right.
I'll put your name on the invited guest list.
Did you ever try, Tom, to calculate the odds of what you just said of a kid who grows up in a suburb of Chicago in Harvey listening to Sinatra? Like, it's a billion to one shot that you would become an opening act and a friend and a trusted compatriot of his. That just doesn't happen.
Oh, and I can't tell you how many times I've pinched myself flying in his private jet. I remember one time coming from, we were at Riverfront Arena in Cincinnati, and we were going to fly in here to Chicago to open the Chicago Theater. They had just put $8 million in the Chicago Theater and renovating.
Yeah.
And I had been touring with him that time 2.5 years. I ultimately was with him 14 years. But I just took it for granted. You know, I didn't take it for granted. I was a big fan of him. But we're flying. We just finished the show. Frank got standing ovation after standing ovation. He came off stage. He said, "Let's go, Tommy." We jumped in the limo, squad cars and limousines, rushed us to the jet. Moments later, we're flying over the venue, heading for Chicago, you know, going to the Chicago Theater. And Frank's talking. He said, "We're going to go to the Chicago Theater, Tom. I love Chicago." He's telling me about Chicago. He said, "We're going to knock him dead, Tommy." Mm-hmm. And that moment, I got so choked up.
Mm-hmm.
I all of a sudden, the reality, oh my God, I'm in Frank Sinatra's private jet flying to my hometown where my name is going to be on the marquee with Frank Sinatra, where I used to stand outside that theater with a shoeshine box. I cannot tell you. I was so choked up, I couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad Frank kept talking because I think I would burst into tears. It was so over. That moment never happened to me again. But I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I was just, it just hit me all of a sudden. Oh my God.
Your dream came true.
Yeah. I'm pinching myself. And that happened so many times in my life, you know. I'm a lucky guy. I worked hard.
Absolutely worked hard. Yeah. And we were talking about an event earlier. This is the Tom Dreesen Celebrity Invitational Golf Tournament. And Kevin, you have some information on that, on how to find out more. That's in Barrington?
Yeah, so if you go to, it's at the McRae Memorial Golf Club in Barrington. It's Wednesday, September 21st. If you go to fourfathers.org, you can get all the info there.
Fourfathers.org has all the information.
Yeah.
You can stay for a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Tom Dreesen is here. His own website, of course, TomDreesen.com, for all information on where to find Tom. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We are chatting with Tom Dreesen. Really, I look at your schedule, and again, you can go to TomDreesen.com and find out all the events that are going on there. We did leave one off. October 1st, Master of Ceremonies for Illinois Chiefs of Police at Drury Lane.
Yeah, that's the last gig before I go back to the West Coast. But I'm also, I forgot, Thursday, September 22nd, I'm the Master of Ceremonies for the 50th anniversary of the 100 Club, you know, that they take care of when our men and women are killed in the line of duty, our first responders, that the 100 Club takes care of their families and their children and gets them to college and takes care of the mortgages and stuff like that. Joe Ahern is behind that, and so he asked me MC, and that's going to be a fun night, too,
at
the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yep.
So. And then I'm going over to Wendy's house. And I'm going to wash windows, Mobile's lawn. You know,
yeah, thank you for that.
Here.
That's so nice of you to do.
We could use the extra help. We really appreciate it.
I have one more Frank Sinatra question for you. We had Frank Jr. on a couple months prior to his passing. A few months ago, we had him on, and there was something I wanted so badly to ask him, but I didn't feel it was right to ask him. But I do want to ask you this question. There's been an idea that Ronan Farrow, this is Mia Farrow's son, who grew up with the belief that Woody Allen was his father. There's a lot of people who say Woody can't be his dad. Frank Sinatra is his dad. He looks exactly like Frank Sinatra. I don't know if you've seen the comparisons, Tom, but it's kind of uncanny. He looks just like him. What do you think?
Well, you know, I saw the, and I don't know. I was touring with Frank when he would have been conceived.
Yeah.
And I find it inconceivable. Honestly, because Frank was so in love with Barbara. That, you know, you remember, he was married to Barbara. It was his fourth wife. He was married to her longer than he was married to all three of his wives put together.
And Barbara is Zeppo Marx's former wife, right?
Zeppo. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Zeppo.
Yeah,
it was Zeppo.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She, Barbara Marx was her maiden. And
boy,
was
this
her
showbiz
name
thing is just very
incestuous.
Incestual.
But what it is, that boy, I saw him. He's got blue eyes like Frank. However,
yeah.
So did Mia, and Mia's side of her family were fair like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He doesn't look like Woody, let's put it that way, but
well,
he can be
sure.
taking over or taking from all of her side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, who knows? You know, you go get a blood test
right.
You know, if I was the boy, I would want to know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I would want to know. But
didn't he take a DNA test or something?
I don't know.
To my knowledge, he didn't, and I would think that he would do that.
That'd be the first thing I'd go do to try and figure it out.
But Mia has said that even though she and Frank were no longer married, she kept in contact with him. They remained close, so we don't know.
Maybe not that close.
Well, I'll tell you, that was Frank's M.O. You know, at his funeral, I spoke at his funeral, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral. And they were there. His first wife, Nancy, who's now 99 and going to be 100, I think, this year.
God bless her.
No, 99 this year, but because Frank would be 100 this year.
Yeah.
And also Mia was there, and, of course, Barbara. And if Ava would have been alive, she would have been there.
Ava Gardner?
You know, when I was going through my divorce, I went into Vegas. I was working with Frank at the MGM Grand. And he said to me, is the wife here? And I said, I'm going through a divorce. He went, oh, Tommy, that's too bad. He said, I can't give you any advice on marriage, but I can give you advice on divorce.
Yeah.
Because he'd been divorced. He said, stay friends with her. Not for you, not for her, for the children.
Yeah.
Stay friends. No matter how much it hurts, stay friends. I wish I'd have paid heed to that. But he did.
It's tough to do.
Yeah, he stayed friends, especially when they're bitter divorce, but he stayed friends with his exes. They were they were all there.
And he
was an extraordinary guy in that way. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Someone has texted and wants to know what you think about. I didn't realize this. The Sabre Room closed down. Is that Hickory Hills out there?
I think it's in Hickory.
In June,
it was in Hickory Hills.
It closed down. South Suburbs lost another iconic meeting place when the Sabre Room shut its doors after 67 years of hosting weddings, New Year's Eve parties, and Hollywood stars, including Bob Hope and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, you know what my feelings are about either. For your young listeners, you would know, but there was a time when nightclubs prevailed in the world, in America, you know, where entertainers, comedians and singers and whoever, that's where you cut your teeth in nightclubs, you know. So the Sabre Room is just another example of that era is gone. You know, Tim Reed and I started out, as you know, as America's first black and white comedy team. History shows Tim Reed and I were the last black and white comedy team. We wrote a book called Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White, which is now becoming a movie.
Oh.
You know, we've got the final draft the other day.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm looking forward.
Who's playing you?
Well, you know, Brad Pitt's a little too old now. You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe. You know Ryan Phillippe?
Yeah, sure.
He wanted to play me. I was having dinner. Clint Eastwood's a real good buddy of mine. I'm name dropping, I know. But Frank Sinatra introduced me to Clint Eastwood 35 years ago. And we've been friends ever since. So we hang out together. And so we were eating at a place called Dantana's. And Ryan Phillippe saw me sitting with Clint. And Clint had directed him in the movie Flags of Our Fathers.
Right.
So I think he saw me sitting with Clint, thinking maybe Clint was doing the movie. He came across the room, but behind him, all these girls are going, oh, it's Ryan Phillippe. Oh, my God, it's Ryan Phillippe. They're passing out. He came to my table. He said, I read your book, and if they make a movie, I want to play you. And I said, I was a lot better looking than you when
oh,
I was here.
Oh, snap.
And he thought I was serious. And he got a forlorn look on his face. I said, no, I'm only kidding. The girls behind you are passing out. But who knows? I mean, whoever they want to cast. You know.
But when you talk about a place like the Sabre Room, that really is an era that's come and gone, sadly, because those dinner clubs, those nightclubs, that was pretty pretty romantic night, wasn't it?
Which, by the way, that's what the museum, the Dean Richards is going to be interviewing me, but it's about Chicago, your start. 48 years I've been in show business. How did it begin? Where did it begin? And it began in those clubs. I had never been on stage alone. Tim Reed and I went on stage together for the first time. You know where you worked? The Guys and Gals, the Dating Club Lounge, the Burning Spear, the High Chaparral. These are all black clubs on the south side of Chicago. We worked all black clubs called what they call affectionately the Chitlin Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
We went from there to the Sugar Shack in Boston, the 20 Grand in Detroit, where all the Motown acts in those days, the Motown acts in Detroit, Motown was in Detroit, those acts broke in their shows at the 20 grand before they went to Vegas. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Temptations, really? The OJs, Diana Ross. So, and then we worked all white clubs in the North and South, Tim and I. So, but they were nightclubs. And in Chicago, when you finally made big time, you went to Mr. Kelly's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Kelly's is where Gibson's is at now, Gibson's Steakhouse. But that was the epitome of success in Chicago.
Sure.
Where Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler, you know, Tim and I opened for Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
She had a little scrawny keyboard player with real thick glasses that if somebody would have said one day he's going to become a sex symbol, we would have said, get, it was Barry Manilow,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
the
keyboard
oh my
player.
God. You know?
So a long answer to a very short question. The Sabre Room, all of that, it's an era gone.
Yeah.
There are no more nightclubs anymore. You know,
which I'm surprised that, you know, like you like the supper clubs.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Why don't they do something to keep the dinner clubs open?
I wonder.
It costs too much. To be honest with you, you know what happened was you would go, say you want to go to Mr. Kelly's. You'd bring your car downtown from some of the burbs or wherever you were. You got to park the car. Then you got to you duke the maitre d' a little bit. You take care of the maitre d'. You know, you get good seats and you have dinner.
Right.
And then comes the show. It's a pretty expensive night. Then all of a sudden the Mill Run Theater opens up and you go out to Mill Run Theater. Free parking.
Yeah.
Huge parking. Like thousands of 2,500 seats
right.
in the round. Not really a bad seat.
Yeah.
And it costs you like $15.
Yeah.
Or 20 bucks, you know.
That's what it is.
Out of business.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you. If Rokan and Anna DeVantis weren't coming in, I would love to keep talking to you. So would Bill. But thank you for coming by.
Rokan's coming in?
It's on the schedule.
Rokan still works in Chicago?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to see. He must be 97, 98 years old now.
Let me remind you. I think you were on a show about a week ago, weren't you?
Yeah, he was only 94. I was an old friend.
Please keep us posted with the Tim and Tom movie.
I will, yes.
And
that's so cool, Tom.
That is
that's
really
great.
Cool.
Wow.
And congratulations, you're being honored at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That's Tuesday, September 27th right here in Chicago. Go to tomdreesen.com. He's got a lot of appearances. And bring the Cubs some good luck on the 20th.
Well, what is it? They don't need it now.
It's not
World
over
Series.
Yet.
It's going to be exciting. Tom, thanks. Great to see you.
Good to be
Anytime
here.
Anytime you want to
thanks.
Come on,
thanks,
be
Bill.
Here.
Thanks, Wendy.
More next. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.